welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody, and Happy New Year 2024. Here we are. I hope that New Year's Eve went well and that you are rolling into 2024 with some level of optimism and light. I think we're all doing our best. This is Nicole, by the way, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Happy to be here with you guys today. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been on break. I've actually taken a few minutes away from work. Not really, because I've been working day and night on preparing the final manuscript of my book to submit it to my publisher. So I've been really in it in terms of TMS and thinking about the brain science and thinking about all of your stories. And we'll talk more about that. But I've taken a minute from all the emails and just sort of really being in the day-to-day of it because it's so important. It's so important. I hope you have done the same for yourself in some small way, to pause and to give yourself a little bit of a break sometimes. I am terrible at this, and I know how hard it is, especially if you have children. So as a parent, there is no real break. I mean, I've been parenting hardcore the last 2 weeks, kids home from college, some travel, you know the drill. But trying to take a breather and get some perspective. And anyway, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of making sure you take care of yourself. I had the opportunity to ride on a couple of planes in the past couple of weeks, and it's always funny and cliche, but important when the flight attendant comes on and says, make sure to put on your oxygen mask before assisting others. It's real. It's real. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to have boundaries. We need to make sure that we are able and strong and clear enough to help others in our lives, because no matter where you are and who you are and where you find yourself, you're helping someone, whether it's your kids or your friends or your loved ones, family, people at work, whatever. We're helpers. We're a connected and it's important that we are connected. This, our society, we have to take care of each other. And we do. So anyway, that is where you find me. I am really, really excited about this book, and I'm really excited about all the thinking that it's brought up for me. And so I was listening to some of your speak pipes, catching up on them, and I got a speak pipe from Kate. And Kate is asking a question about what it's like to deal with symptoms when you are immersed in your TMS and what it's like to deal with symptoms when you're in actual fight or flight. And I thought it was an interesting conversation topic for today. So we are going to get to that in just a moment. I want to tell you guys, I've received many, many, many emails over break of people they're talking about really wanting to jump into the work. A new year is always an inspiration to get started. Just remember that my Omega retreat, June 23rd through the 28th, live and in person, 5 days of learning with me and Lisa and some of these amazing, exciting guest instructors that we have been talking to come to Omega and make it a really fulsome experience. Those tickets are on sale and the housing sells out quickly. And so I would go to eomega.org, search my name, Nicole Sachs, if you would like to join us. The link is also in my Instagram bio, which is at Nicole Sachs, LCSW. And at my website under retreats at thecureforchronicpain.com. And if you are not yet ready to make the decision about Omega, I know it's a big deal to travel, and you want to hear some of the talks and immerse yourself in the learning, you can go to my website, again, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on Live from Omega. Over 7 hours of talks with experts, with me, with Lisa, the inner child work, the foundational work, it's all available there. And you can get a taste of what it's like to be in the room with us. It's such freaking good stuff. It's my favorite week of the year, bar none. Anyone who's been there knows that. I actually think just last week I was re-airing an interview with Scarlett, who was in my OG Omega retreat. And oh my God, you guys, that was so crazy because it was the first time I ever headlined a retreat, and we just really became a family. I still speak to many of them, but it happens every year, every single year. It's so intimate, so close. And finally, if you aren't sure if you're ready to travel, but do want my personal attention to speak to me every single month, do come to join my membership community. Just go to my website, scroll down a touch, and you'll see the button to join. Every month, we're on Zoom twice a month, 3 hours for our big community meeting, 1 hour for like a chill out, hangout Q&A with me. And I'm also on the online community. We have a private community where I answer your questions every day. And everybody's so supportive, answering each other's questions. It's really amazing. It's actually been the catalyst for the most healing I've seen in this past year. And we're rounding out our first year of this membership community, which is amazing. It has been so fulfilling for me, and I know for so many of you guys. Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the brain science. Fight or flight, what it's like to be in actual fight or flight, what it's like to be in TMS, induced fight or flight, because Kate brings up a great point. She has bladder issues, urgency. So a lot of people have pelvic stuff, men and women that have come to me virtually over the last few years. It's a big one. And she's saying that when she has actual really crazy focus stealing fight or flight stuff going on, she doesn't really experience symptoms that much, but then they come rushing in when there's nothing to really deal with. So let's listen to her speak pipe and then we will talk about it on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Kate and I've been dealing with some bladder symptoms such as urgency and frequency for the past 3.5 years that are most certainly TMS. I just started Journal Speak about a month ago. And something that I noticed through this process is that my symptoms actually tend to be pretty good during times of high stress, but then once a stressor is resolved, that is when they come roaring back. And I'm having trouble kind of knowing what to focus on in my journal speak during these times. So I was hoping that you could share any wisdom that you have about this, because I'm sure it's not an uncommon experience, and I'm sort of just having trouble knowing how to navigate it. Feel free to use this on the podcast if you feel so inclined. Thank you.
Okay, so Kate, you bring up a really great point. One that I have dealt with and seen and helped people with over and over and over again for over 20 years, which is when there is something quote unquote real going on, it's kind of like that old cliche they used to say in the whatever, 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe some parents still say it today, which is stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. It's like when your nervous system, when there's real crying to be done, when there's an emergency where you're so busy, you don't have time to think about yourself. When you are maybe like over the holidays, a million people are home and there's family and there's dealing with one thing, dealing with another, you know, you're kind of fielding problems left and right, a lot of times people, or actually if you're physically sick, meaning if you have the flu, if you have, you know, something that's stealing all your focus, sometimes, and this Kate brings it up, people have far fewer TMS symptoms during those times when there's actually crying, when there's actually something that is taking so much of your energy and the space and real estate in your mind that you almost don't have time to deal with your chronic pain. Now, I know that that is also not a comfortable time and you don't like it, that as soon as things relax, the symptoms come rushing back. But this is all just important. We have to live within what is. As I say often, transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is, my favorite Danielle Laporte quote. And that is what we're dealing with, what is. And what is that your brain views your repressed emotional world when there's nothing else to be fighting against as a threat to your life. The feelings of dissatisfaction, discontent, rage, shame, despair, anguish, fear, terror, what have you, begin to rise when the coast is a little clear. And that's when TMS symptoms come up. But what's interesting is when there's really something going on that is right in front of your face, Oftentimes, that's when TMS symptoms calm down. And so, what Kate's asking is, how do you deal with this? How do you know what to focus on? So, I think the best way to answer this question is to just do a quick primer on the brain science, which is that we live with a brain that is very focused on keeping us alive via the brainstem. What some people call the reptilian brain, which is the nervous system and the fight or flight response, and the amygdala, which they work together. They seek to identify places where we might need to fight, flee, freeze, or fawn, and they alert us to that danger by protecting us. And, back in early days of early evolution, that would mean flooding us with cortisol and adrenaline and slowing down digestion and making circulation, the optimal for us to either, depending on the stance, freeze quietly and not need to move, not need to eat, not need to pee, not need to not be so uncomfortable and antsy, and that moving slow us down, or give us that shot of energy to flee, to climb up a tree, to run to the cave faster, stronger, more agile. Or of course, there's the fight, the ability to actually turn toward our aggressor with less fear, with less intimidation, with all that adrenaline, cortisol, and fight ourselves into safety. And that is what is still happening. And so when there's really something going on, when there is a reason to fight, flee, or freeze in your life, an emergency or something overwhelming, the nervous system is in perfect order. It is sending those signals. You are using them. You're using that adrenaline and cortisol, and you are keeping yourself safe by what? By being in control, by taking care of situations, by being there for others, by being there for yourself. Whatever has to happen in those situations, you are armed with what you need. Your body is on your side. But here's the thing. When that obvious threat resolves and you are no longer in a space where it makes sense, where there's something right in front of your face to fight, flee, freeze, or fawn about, oftentimes, and this is not a body that is against you, it's a body that's still for you. Your nervous system shifts gears and it's constantly searching for where you might be in danger. And thank God it is, right? This is why we have cat-like reflexes. This is why we jump off the curb when the bus is coming. This is why we pull our hand from a hot stove. This is why our thinking gets sharp and quiet when we're in an emergency, and it helps us get out. It helps us to save ourselves and others. So we need this, we want it, and we value it. But what happens when things are not obviously dangerous is the sentinel, the vigilant nervous system does not stop searching because it doesn't know the difference between the danger of your rising repressed emotions and the danger of an obvious emergency. It doesn't know the difference. And this is where we come in. This is where this work comes in. This is where this education and the prescription of knowledge comes in, because if you start understanding consciously that this is going on, you have the absolute power to circumvent it. So the obvious emergency wanes and the nervous system is still just picture like a Klieg light, like one of those spotlights that moves left and right over a dark expanse. And what does it spot? It spots the rising rage that you are really not safe to feel because, it was very dangerous to be angry as a child. It threatened the ability to get love and connection from your parents, or it threatened your ability to be accepted in a friend group, which felt like your salvation. Or, if you expressed yourself at work, you'd get fired. These are real dangers to your nervous system. Your rising rage feels like it is a danger to your life because in the past, it has been unsafe and unacceptable to feel anger. I'm just picking an example. I'm picking one emotion. So, what happens? There's no obvious emergency. The rage is unconscious, by the way. We aren't sick because of what we feel. We are sick and defended because of what we don't yet feel. So, when that rage is unconscious, when you know there's something down there, maybe, but you can't access it, you don't have the right tools to access it. The only thing your nervous system can do is sense it and protect you from it. So the feelings start rising. There's nothing obvious in front of you to fight, flee, freeze, or fawn about. So, you know, the coast is relatively clear. And as those feelings start knocking on the door of your consciousness, something happens. The nervous system says, danger, danger, danger. The alarm bell starts ringing. So I want you to envision just that red siren that sometimes a police officer can kind of plop on top of their car, that red rotating siren. It starts screaming and the red lights are flashing. There is danger. The rage is rising. Your nervous system says, no, 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 this is not safe. She, he cannot feel that. He is going to be accused of having anger issues. She is going to be shut out and told she's hysterical. We need to survive here. That's not safe to feel that rage. The alarm starts ringing. The nervous system switches into fight or flight and it starts seeking places where it can protect you. Okay, what makes sense? Well, if you already have a symptom imperative going on, for Kate, it's bladder urgency and different issues. Maybe she's got some pain, some pelvic issues. That's where it goes first, because the brain is incredibly evolved in ways that not the best scientists fully understand, where it will be able to pinpoint the place where the protection is most effective. And if you're already having a symptom imperative, that's the first place it's going to go. And so you get a symptom. Now, what happens when you get a symptom? Well, first of all, that symptom steals your focus. So whatever rage might be rising, that might be knocking at the door of your consciousness, that wants to be fully heard and recognized and seen and vented, well, that's not going to happen, because all of a sudden you're like running to the bathroom. You're lamenting the problem. Oh my God, it's back. This sucks. Holy shit. I can't deal with this. All those thoughts are taking up the space. And the brain is like, yes, she's protected. She doesn't have to deal with the rage, the rising anything. She is in the bathroom. She is calling the doctor. She is worried and panicked. And all that space is actually protective. It slows you down. It helps you ask for help. It keeps you focused on something other than the rage. It's so obvious when I think about it, when I write about it, when I teach it, and I hope it becomes obvious as you hear it from me, because it's just the truthiest of truths that this is what's happening. Okay. So when Kate says, what do I do in those situations? It's like every question of yours, everybody's, is I have the same answer, but it's the thing is, we need to ask all the questions. First of all, we need to ask all the questions because you asking your questions is part of your safety and bringing your nervous system, a dysregulated nervous system, into regulation. You need to be self-expressed. You need to ask your questions, which is why I have Omega, which is why I have this membership community where people actually hang out with me in person on Zoom every month, because I know you need to ask your questions and I'm here for that. So even though my answer is, you know, in like, let's say X number of different flavors the same, it's still important that we ask the question. It's still important that we give these specific examples. So the answer to the question is this, Kate and everyone: we are going to slow down. We are going to remember what is happening. We're going to first say, ah, well, that makes sense. The brain is so soothed and comforted by the sentence, ah, so that makes sense. We need to figure out the foundation underneath our feet. We need to feel safe and solid. So if it makes sense to you what I'm saying, that if there's a real emergency in front of you, that your nervous system feels safe taking care of that, and as soon as the real emergency wanes, that this TMS process and this protection from the rising emotions makes sense, great. If that makes sense to you, you are halfway there. Because knowledge, you know, Dr. Sarno used to say, my prescription is knowledge. And the point is that when you know what's going on, it's much more helpful. It's much more, you're much more able to do what you need to do. Okay, so if that makes sense to you, then really the answer is you slow down. You say, okay, there is no mystery here. I'm not in danger. My symptoms are flaring, obviously. Okay. That's where I like to say it's boring TMS. I love the energy of, duh, yeah, I know, I've been expecting you. Of course you're here. The only message we need to send to the nervous system is one of safety. Safety is contained within the, oh, right, here you are, well, I've been expecting you. Expectations set our space for safety. They set us up for being able to feel safe because nothing's blindsiding us. Oh, duh, you're here. Okay, so the symptoms have come rushing in when the real thing to cry about, they're going to give you something to cry about when the real thing to cry about abates. And so you say, okay, back to basics, back to the drawing board. Make a little inventory. You know, maybe you have your lists. Maybe you've already taken a look or gone through all of them. I don't know. I mean, certainly not for Kate, who's only been doing this for a short period of time, but wherever this finds you, if you don't feel like your original lists are speaking to you, then make a short inventory. What is renting real estate in your head right now? Pick five things. Maybe it's the name of someone in your family. Maybe it's an event that happened over the holidays that you can't kind of you can't get out of your head. Maybe it's your weight. Maybe it's your fear of, New Year's resolutions and them not coming true. Maybe it's your codependency. You're over worried about someone else in your life. Maybe you're dreading. Maybe you're pre-grieving. You're catastrophizing what might happen in the future, which is giving you super big anxiety. Maybe you're just overwhelmed, like me, where there's so many things that you feel like you have to do, and you're like, oh, Jesus, am I ever going to get this done? Am I going to disappoint people? Am I going to fail? Whatever. We're just human, guys. We're all experiencing this stuff all the time. It's so normal. So make a quick inventory and then just quiet yourself. Say to your nervous system, I see you're dysregulated right now. You're sending me symptoms. I got you. We're going to take care of this. It's going to take as long as it takes. There's no urgency. My only message to you is safety, equanimity, boredom. I've been expecting this. And you take each thing and you do your journal speak practice. And for those of you who are new to journal speak, go to my resources, go to the website, go to the resources tab. Read how to journal speak. Go back to the first episode of this podcast. Listen to my story in episode two, which is called Journal Speak, Your New Best Friend. Take my online course, Freedom from Chronic Pain. It will teach you exactly how to do this, like I'm holding your hand through the whole thing. If anxiety is your thing, freedom from an anxious life, I'm not here to promote things. I'm here to help you because I know that every question you have comes down to the same answer. So it's like, how are you going to hear it? How can I package it in a way that you can truly hear it? And everybody is different. Everybody's going to have a different thing. My daughter, Charlotte, is 16. She turned 16 a couple days ago. Happy birthday, my little baby. You may have seen my post on Instagram. If you're looking to see cute pictures of a baby growing up, head over to my Instagram profile and look at Charlotte's post. She used to sing on this podcast when she was little. Some people commented back on that they remember her playing the ukulele and singing in her sweet little baby voice. But anyway, Charlotte and I were talking yesterday, as I've said 150,000 times, I'm finishing up this book, and there was a story. Every chapter in the book is going to have someone else's story, an original story in the person's words, written by that person, of their journey through TMS and their revelations and inspiration for all of you guys. And Charlotte was like, Mommy, please put me in the book. Please. Like, kids my age need to understand that this work is a possibility for them. And I sat with her yesterday and we wrote her story. And it was so amazing. And the reason I'm mentioning this right now is because I just said, everybody hears this in a different way. And it has been particularly hard for my kids to hear this stuff from me because, like anyone with teenagers know, they just roll their eyes at you like, oh my God, mom, like it's enough, like mind body medicine. Like, but like I could be anything. I could be, a horse trainer and they wouldn't want to train their horse with me. Like, kids are difficult when it comes to their own parents. And I've had to go to the mat with my children over their TMS and really partner with them several times in their lifetimes. And just sitting with Charlotte and remembering her story, which, by the way, is featured on this podcast. I interviewed her for when she was like 11, her cute little baby self. I interviewed her for this podcast. So if anybody's interested, I don't know what episode it is, but you can go back and search Charlotte and in her foot pain, and you can listen to that. But she had a diagnosis of accessory navicular bone in her ankle. She still has the diagnosis, but when she first got it, it was causing her such tremendous pain that she could barely dance. She could also barely walk. And we went through the whole medical route. We went through the orthopedist. It was a freaking nightmare. Anybody who has sat in a doctor's office with a child when the doctor is more hysterical than the child about what a bad situation this is usually pretty pissed off. And I was. But it really catapulted us together as a little partnership into opening to treating her problem as TMS after I made sure to get her checked out, of course, as always. And we did the work, and I'm going to tell that story in the book. And I really look forward to sharing it with you because she is 16. She has been symptom-free in her accessory navicular bone for years, as well as other TMS equivalents that have come up for her in the form of Achilles tendonitis, something diagnosed as a heel spur, or we decided that it must have been, although we treated it as TMS and it went away, and severe anxiety when she transitioned from elementary to middle school. And we have used this work and through the lens of speaking to younger people over and over. And she's 16 and completely symptom-free. She dances classical ballet over 20 hours a week on these same feet in pointe shoes. And so we told her story. And the reason I'm even also bringing it up is because Lisa and I have been really focusing this year and will be making a huge push in 24 to help bring this work to young people, to teenagers and young adults who are so desperately in need with a teen mental health crisis that is beyond with migraines and stomach issues and crippling anxiety that teens are going through. And a lot more is going to come out on the podcast about that in the next few weeks. And so just thinking about how everybody needs the message differently and how teenagers need to understand this, the science in the way teenagers need to understand it. And, you know, it's just so it's difficult but exciting to bring that. So if you have a teenager, if you have somebody in your life who is struggling, know that the answer is the same, just like the answer is for Kate, just like the answer is for everyone doing this work. But we are really crafting a message that they're going to be able to hear with real teenagers bringing that message. And so if your teens are struggling, do reach out to me and let me know. Write me an email at njsax@thecureforchronicpain.com and tell me about your teen and how they're struggling, because this is something that we're really working on. And the answer is the same and the message is the same, but we got to craft it. So, you know, just to wrap this up, your journal speak practice with paired with the mindset of equanimity, calm, and expecting this stuff to come when real emergencies calm down is the answer. And I am, and as I'm immersed in this book and reading the many, many stories that have been submitted and choosing the ones that are going to be focused featured in the book, I am really in it. I'm so deep in it with your success and knowing how deeply this work works, and looking at my own child and looking at my own life, and Kate, knowing it's going to work for you. And it's just about continuing to refocus. I am not unsafe. My emotional reservoir is rising. Obviously, it is. And it makes me feel like something's wrong. My body is responding. My body is protecting me. I'm feeling the symptoms. But as our incredible colleague, our neuroscience colleague, Gigi Cockell says, when you focus only on the symptoms, when you panic about the symptoms, when you look toward the symptoms, which is what your nervous system wants you to do, it is tantamount to taking a fire hose in the midst of a roaring five-alarm fire and dousing the alarm bell, dousing the red circling siren. If we douse the red circling siren, we will never put out the fire. The fire will rage on within us. And that's what it's like when you go from doctor to doctor to doctor and treatment to treatment and just obsess on your symptoms. And I'm not blaming you for it. I get it. You do it because you're terrified and you feel like you have no other choice. But when you hear about this work and you pause and you know that the reason the symptoms are happening is because of this fire, this repressed emotional world, and instead of only focusing on the symptoms and dousing the alarm bell, you turn the hose. This huge, incredible, powerful hose that you have power over, you have control over, and you focus on the repressed emotional world, and you do this work as I instruct you to do it. Little by slowly, that fire will go out. And over and over and over again, I watch people have success. And I watch them be really scared and think it's not going to happen for them and think success is for everyone else but them. And then there are different moments of surrender and surrender and surrender and falling to their knees and saying, I'm just going to do it, like has happened to me. And then they end up on this podcast, grateful for the pain, telling their stories. They end up in my book that will be available to all of you guys next year. And they're well, and so can you be. So thank you so much, Kate, for reaching out and bringing your speak pipe. You bring up a great point that I'm glad to have had the opportunity to talk about. And for all of you guys out there, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you could go over to iTunes and rate and review it, it means so much to me, and it really helps other people find the podcast, which if you're listening, you know how much everybody needs the podcast. And I send you huge love and light for 2024. I'm doing my best. I know you are too. And I know we are going to make huge strides during this year. Lots and lots of love. See you next week.